the Sabres went out and got Robin Lehner. They went out and made a big deal with Colorado, and they got the rights to Ryan O'Reilly, who, darn it, probably should have been a Flame at one point, but that never happened. Very pleased that Joe Yerden from NHL.com can join us to talk about the Sabres. Joe, thanks for doing this. It seems like, much like in the province of Alberta, it's never dull around Buffalo these days.
Hasn't been dull here in about 2 years, I'd say. The hockey hasn't been great, but it's been anything other than boring, that's for sure.
The deal for Ryan O'Reilly, a 7-year contract, well, that makes sense. He's a young center. Everybody needs a young number one center. But it's really the term and the way this contract plays itself out. There's a lot of people that have raised eyebrows. Do you have raised eyebrows about this deal?
Only in that I haven't really seen another contract like that. Only David Clarkson's is similar, and that's probably not the name you really want to go throwing around like you just gave a 7-year deal to. But, yeah, going $1 million a year and then getting bonuses thrown in every July 1st, it's definitely a different kind of deal for him. But, some folks were getting upset about the $7.5 million annual value for it. And, you know, I get that. I mean, he's only had a career high, I think, of 60 points and, you know, had a 17 gold last year. And that's not really the kind of money you throw around for a guy like that. But at the same point, Calgary kind of helped make that happen.
Yeah.
By that offer sheet being worth $6.5 million in the last season. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're never going to be able to negotiate down from that point. So, the talking starts at 6.5 and it just goes up from there. So going to 7.5, and especially after the story out of Denver was that he wanted $8 million per, you know, maybe the Sabres got a bit of a break on this one, you know, 1 year shorter and $500,000 less per year.
Can you help me? I mean, I'm no CBA expert, and I don't want to insinuate that you are, but the escrow component to this, the fact that it's $1 million salary with bonuses, I see conflicting information. Early on, I was led to believe that bonuses aren't subject to escrow. Now I'm seeing they are. Do you have a handle on that?
I've been trying to look around on that. From what I understood before, bonuses didn't apply to that. I mean, maybe that's something that got changed after the last lockout, where, you know, they were just looking for ways to kind of dance around this kind of thing happening. I'm not totally sure. I'm going to have to get my fine-tooth comb and get back through the CBA to see if there's something in there about that.
Because nothing's better than summer reading of the CBA. and I guess the other part of this is the fact that is interesting from a Buffalo standpoint. If they ever got to a point this falls apart, the buyout would become really interesting because, again, we don't think the bonuses come into play in a buyout, do they?
No, I don't think they do, and I think that's part of the reason why the deal is done that way. And you know, you want to, when you're a player, you want to kind of protect your interests, and you don't want to get bought out. You don't want to have that kind of thing happen. And crazy stuff can happen, and things can fall apart. But you know, if this contract makes it so that buying somebody out in the later years makes it almost impossible, hey, kudos to them. I mean, team doesn't have to sign that kind of contract. They can just tell them to go take a hike, but you know, at the same point, you want the player, you want to keep him around, and sometimes you have to do things a little bit different to make sure it happens. And, you know, in this case, that sure seems to be that way. I mean, I don't think Terry Pegula is going to mind, you know, writing up a few extra big checks every July 1st for the next 7 years.
Joe Yerden from NHL.com. We're talking about the Buffalo Sabres, our guest here on the big show. Pat?
So let's focus in on the ice here with Ryan O'Reilly. We're expecting him to be, he's their number one center next year, is that right?
That's what Dan Bylsma said over the weekend. Although I wonder what the competition is going to be like with Jack Eichel for that spot. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, Eichel's going to be great. He's going to be a great one. Why haggle about, you know, which guy's going to be your number one center at this point? In that respect, it's a wealth of riches. It's like flip a coin, put him on the first line, and let him go.
So where are we on Jack Eichel right now? Like, have we determined that he's not going back to college? We know that for sure.
Oh yeah, he signed his entry level deal. That means he can't go back to college. And should things go for the absolute worst, he would have to, you know, if he's not going to make it in Buffalo, he'd have to play junior hockey. But I would imagine that the only way that happens is if he shows up to camp weighing 300 pounds, can't skate, and suddenly can't lift his arms above his head to lift the stick.
Yeah, and I totally forgot that he signed his entry-level deal on Wednesday because he's a college player. That so depth-wise at center, O'Reilly, Eichel, Tyler Ennis plays center, and Sam Reinhart's still in this picture too. So where, like, how do we view this center ice depth chart right now for Buffalo?
Well, I would say right now, Ennis is, you can put Ennis down as a right wing now. Okay. He hasn't played center in maybe 2.5-3 years at this point. He played on the right side on the top line last year, and most, I believe, all of last season, or two seasons ago as well. So that settles that. But you're looking O'Reilly, pencil in O'Reilly as the number one center. I'd say Eichel is the number two. I would go Zdenek Girgensson as the third center, and David Legwand on the fourth line. And then maybe you have Sam Reinhart start on the right wing, or, I mean, there's a possibility he starts in the AHL as well. But I think that's where things start out right now. But, you know, training camp, things can get moved around. Reinhart played a little bit at right wing when he played the final three AHL games of the season last year. So he got a little taste of it. I think he's got to get a bit more of a taste of it during development camp and again in training camp.
How much is Reinhart? Because here we are with O'Reilly being signed and acquired and Eichel being drafted first overall. Has Reinhart in a lot of ways almost gotten lost in the shuffle?
In a way he has, but I think for him, this is going to help keep the spotlight off of him. I think he got a lot of the view last year where, you know, he plays nine games. He didn't look like he fit into the NHL in those games. He looked a lot better in the AHL in the end of last season. And obviously during, you know, with Kootenay and during the World Junior Tournament, he looked fantastic. So I think there's a hope that he's going to build off of what he learned last year and just kind of come into camp and maybe even fly under the radar, because everybody's going to be paying attention to O'Reilly and to Eichel, and that he's going to just be doing his thing. I mean, people are going to be keeping an eye out for him because they want him, fans want him in the NHL. But if he starts the year in the AHL, I don't think it's a killer. But I think for him, it's a great thing because he's going to be able to do what he needs to do. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a camp and you're learning new systems and everything, I mean, everybody's going to be doing that. But for somebody who's so young, I mean, it works out. I think it's going to work out even better for him because the pressure isn't totally there for him. And, you know, I know if he gets sent to Rochester to start the season, then people are going to look at it, you know, disappointingly. But, I mean, the way the Sabres have rebuilt things this summer, it's very possible he could do that. And it's a completely comfortable move because of his minutes. He'll be able to get his time in against, you know, older guys and, you know, playing against men and not kids. And, you know, it just let it roll from there and let him develop.
Joe Yerden from NHL.com joining us here on The Big Show. We're talking about the Buffalo Sabres. And we've talked about the middle. We've talked about up front. Tell me about the back end. Robin Lehner's a big pickup. We know that they went out and got Josh Georges last year. They, you know, did the big deal with Winnipeg. But what's that back end, the defensive side of the Sabres, shaping up to be this fall?
Well, I don't think Tim Murray's done there. I think he's got a lot more work to get done because right now it's the weakness, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you're looking at Georges, Zach Bogosian, Rasmus Ristolainen as probably your three solid guys in the lineup. And then from there, it gets a little different. You know, they signed Carlo Koliakovo today. You have Mike Weber. You have youngster Jake McCabe, who's another, you know, another guy that they're super high on. And you also have Mark Pesek. So you have Pesek, I think he probably slots in as the fourth guy right now. But they need help on the left side. And the left side, you know, a left-handed shot anyways. Dan Bylsma said he's comfortable putting left-handed guys on the right side and right-handed guys on the left side. So I take that for what it's worth. But they need somebody who's a little bit more steady as a lefty shot. You know, you trade away Zadorov to get O'Reilly, and that opens that up. But it's a weakness. They need a top-four type player. Yesterday, basically. They've got the rest of the summer to get this figured out. And I have to assume that it's going to come via trade because, you know, Johnny Oduya is probably the last big name out there, and it sounds like he wants to stay in Chicago, provided the cap situation plays out right. So whether or not Buffalo's in that mix, I mean, I assume that Murray's talking with him, but, you know, it might be out of their hands if he just wants to stay in Chicago. But they've got to get that figured out because defensively, it's a bit of a jumble. And you know, the last thing you want to do is have your forwards in place than on defense to keep up with everybody else.
Joe, how are they selling this team? I mean, what's this year supposed to be? The last couple have been terrible. We know that, and now they've added a lot. Are they, you know, limiting expectations? Are they trying to tamper expectations, or are they trying to set the bar high? I know it's July, but there's got to be a feeling of where they're going.
Well, Tim Murray's been playing it very cool. You know, he flat out refuses to say the playoffs are within reach for this upcoming season. I don't think they are either. You know, Dan Bylsma said that, you know, he's very happy. He thinks they improved greatly during draft weekend. And I think he realized that, you know, by saying things like that, you set the bar maybe a little bit too high right off the bat. But I think people are excited about things being better than they have been the last 2 years. I mean, it's almost impossible for them to go worse. And I know that's inviting all sorts of cosmic karma to come down and change that. But you look at it with the guys you're going to have out there. You're going to have Evander Kane. You're going to have Jack Eichel. You're going to have Ryan O'Reilly. You're going to have Tyler Ennis, who, you know, is finally starting to get noticed by people last year as a brilliant offensive player. You know, Matt Molson's not going to have another terrible season the way he did last year. And it's a team where things are going to improve. Things are going to be better. They're going to be very young. I mean, this is a ridiculously young team. And from building off of that, I mean, you can throw the labels on it all you want to, but it's going to be better hockey. You know, Dan Bylsma and Ted Nolan can be more polar opposite in their styles of hockey. And I think for the fans, that's, you know, it's based around Eichel. It's based around Reinhardt. It's based around Kane. It's based around all these guys where, you know, you're expecting them to be better and things to be better. But as far as where they want them to be, as long as they're not finished last in the East and they're not, you know, the top three lottery team, I think that's, you know, that's the basic improvement. But I think if they're in the running for a playoff spot, you get, you know, maybe into February and they're hanging around, you know, 8, 9, 10, cool. But if you finish 11th or 12th, I think it's still a success.
Joe, really appreciate this. I know it's a busy day. And as I said before, never dull around Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate the perspective.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.